Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that it refuses to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for April the 19th in the year of our Lord, 2024. This is Hour 2 at 2, the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, to restore the republic and the traditions of our founding fathers, and do it following the Prince of Peace. So we reject revolution unless it's the Jesus revolution. We want to peacefully restore the country. They want to take us to war. Every reality check element looks like they love, they want, they're promoting war, not only internationally, not only foreign, but domestic as well. Folks, Dr. Scott Bradley with me both hours. We talked about on April the 19th, 1775, literally 249 years ago today, Lexington and Concord shot heard around the world. And we talked about how, you know what, they wanted peace but were forced into war. The same thing is happening to us, the constitutional patriots of today. And, you know, you got to ask, how close are we to that reality today? And in many ways, we're not as far along as they were. In many ways, we're much further along. Primarily, the big distinction is, you know, it was just an assault on the colonies back then by King George. Now it's literally assault on the whole world. Free speech, all the five guarantees in the First Amendment in the crosshairs, the Second Amendment in the crosshairs. Literally everything is culminating to a globalistic style tyranny. You know, instead of protecting your Fourth Amendment rights, Mike Johnson and clowns and the Democrats and Joe Biden and everybody else teaming up to betray us. They basically are betraying border security for foreign aid. They're literally setting a weekend vote coming up on a package to literally promote foreign aid. We're going to just spend ourselves into oblivion while we let the border leak like a sieve at home. Iran attacks Israel. Israel now attacking Iran. You got the Russian-Ukraine war going on. This could all culminate into World War III, folks. If we're not very careful, we're dangerously close. Some would look at the, end of the world clock, whatever you want to call that thing, and boy, howdy, is that dude marching towards midnight. You know, Biden announces aid to Israel and Gaza. He's funding both sides of the war. Biden admin announces new sanctions targeting Iran's drone industry. Democrats make unprecedented move to back and double down and support Mike Johnson, despite conservatives saying, no, this is the road we ought not go down. That's the summary of the last hour's worth discussion. Check it out at libertyroundtable.com. If you missed it, it'll be up in a couple of hours. You can check out that show. I'm just telling you right now, it's a disaster. We have a little bit of good news on the horizon, though, Doctor, that I want to brief you on. Headline says, Dallas attorney Sidney Powell, known for her vigorous legal efforts to challenge the, quote, fraudulent 2020 election on behalf of President Donald Trump, has now been vindicated by an appellate court, fully vindicated, I might add, by the appellate court. Jim Hoft over at the Gateway Pundit has this piece, good for him, and it basically talks about the 5th District of Texas, ran by Democrats. 3-judge panel, all Democrats, concluded the state bar, the arguments were without merit, Doctor. Anyway, it's a long article, but it basically highlights that Sidney Powell, you know, there were some glitches in some of the stuff she submitted, but the court basically said she didn't know about any of the glitches in what was submitted. They were trying to file documents so fastly because it was a, quote, crisis of the day, that she's not responsible for them, and everything that she did was legitimate. And for 3 years we've been at this battle. You know, they've been trying to make you believe that Sidney Powell's a criminal and what she did was nefarious and she should lose her law license and all this kind of stuff. And now even the 3 Democrat courts say no, she was all right, and the agenda by the government was without merit. Dr. Bradley.
Well, I sure wished I knew a lot more about the matter at hand. It sounds like it was a debarring kind of effort based upon a vindictive effort to prevent any further discussion about the thing.
That's exactly right.
I don't think that it completely, it could be interpreted in some people's mind as saying, oh, they've proven that the election was stolen from Trump, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think it could come anywhere close along theirs, but at least there's going to be the ability to continue to practice law and everything like that. This is a skirmish, in my opinion, and it's not a full vindication of anything, but at least there's a continuation of the opportunity to fight the battle. And by the way, this has been a freedom of speech thing. You brought up freedom of speech in your little intro just then, and we've talked often about how the First Amendment and that freedom of speech was really, truly something that was to allow the exposure of material to help prevent the takeover of bad government, of tyranny, of things that would destroy, you know, our society. The free speech is not for lewd dancing or any pornography things or anything like that. It really has to do with preserving our liberty. And it came to my mind when you brought that up, and that I know we always got distractions, but the Julian Assange thing may be coming to a head, and I think that some of the people that are chasing putting him to death almost, I mean, there has been that discussion as to whether or not he would be subject to the death penalty. His was a freedom of speech issue. He was a journalist. He is a journalist. And we owe him a great debt of gratitude for exposing the lies and more darned lies about this quote-unquote war on terror and the prosecution that the U.S. government is doing, trying to extradite him to the United States. But I think the downside of the risk of that is becoming so large that it may actually, I mean, I can hope that it'll end up kind of fizzling out ultimately and finally, because we need whistleblowers. We need people that expose the falsehoods.
And I'm glad that Sidney Powell's vindicated, but 3 years later, the damage to her character, the lying, relentless, manipulated, dishonest, fake, hostile news about her, you can never undo the damage done there.
No,
and now they're doing the same things to people like me. They're building article after article after article after article and reporting me to Congress as a domestic concern and a threat and a, you know, and the nexus of hate and anti-government and everything else. They put me on the congressional record twice in that regard. They've written article after article of hit pieces after, you know, they build this case to where they do so much damage. I think the only options we have left is to maybe sue them and try to get a redress of grievance. That's the peaceful First Amendment way to go about it. The problem is that lawfare just runs us right out of money. The final statement on this thing says Sidney won. Unequivocally, even Democrats agree, but they say this: while Wednesday's ruling represents a vindication for Powell in this matter, it is not over yet, doctor. In other words, they're going to appeal that too, and now we got lawfare till the cows come home. 3 years later, vindication. Now it'll be another 3 years to see what happens, right?
Yeah, and they got deep pockets because it's a government agency that's pursuing these things. And why are their pockets deep? Because they're stealing it out of your pocket. You know,
now, some
these
people are saying,
things,
hey, on tax day was last week, and some people are saying we've just got to quit filing taxes. You know, we've got to take money out of their hands. And on one hand, I agree with the general premise or idea. I disagree with the action, so it's tactics now, because all they're going to do is hang us all separately if we're not very careful, right?
I kind of wish, and this is just an extraneous thought again, I kind of wish that they'd put tax day, you know, April 15th, move it to the day or the week, maybe a week before the general election. Anytime they're having an election, you know, say it's in November, we're gonna have tax day.
Yeah, like
day
November 1st would be
that.
A great time.
And so everybody could be so ticked off when they got done. They said none of the above. You know, any incumbent would get
you were voting
tossed
all
out
your clowns out.
Right. I wish they kind of would do
and
something.
And it'd be an overwhelming landslide, so they couldn't commit vote fraud either.
And here's the deal. That's why they don't do it. They move it as far that's apart right. as they can. I mean, look at the months that are difference between April, May, June, July, August, September, October. And, oh, there's an election. You know, we've got such short memories as the electorate that we got to start getting a little bit more intelligence instead of brains that are turned into mush in the education system. People got to start thinking and recognizing You know, and here's just a second. I just came across something here. Maybe I can find it again real quickly. Where, what's his name? Thomas Massie, Republican from Kentucky, talks about Johnson, Mike Johnson. We were on him the last hour. Accidents were unprecedented. And here's the tweet or Twitter or whatever the heck they're calling this now. It says, from Massie, it says, unprecedented. Speaker Johnson plans.
Go ahead and skip the break.
Okay. Speaker Johnson plans to pass the rule for the $100 billion package, aid package, using Democrats on the Rules Committee. Is he working for Democrats or Republicans now? Now, you say, yeah, that turkey, Johnson's working for the Democrats. No, he's working against principle. And Republicans and Democrats should both be on the same page. We both took an oath to uphold the United States Constitution. We both have an obligation to get on the same page about this Bravo Sierra, just as just one example, the $100 billion foreign aid package that is unconstitutional. Every single solitary ounce of it is. And Massey's position is, I mean, it's a party thing again. Oh, he's working for the Democrats. Well, actually, he's working against every single principle this nation was founded on. And I find these polarizing statements about parties to be disingenuous in their own work. You know, Massie has done a lot of good things. I don't want to take that away from him. But I wished we could start to recognize that we are all in this together. And if we destroy this nation, the baseline principles, where are we going to hide? I mean, we'll be a bunch of cockroaches running for cover, because that's all there is we got to, you know, every man for himself sooner or later. And it's not Republicans and Democrats that ought to be at each other's throat. We ought to be all united in preserving the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity. I think they've said that before, haven't they? So, yeah, you even find people that are maybe saying something that you might even kind of agree with that are really just partway right. And that's discouraging to me. So, anyway, Sam, you probably got other things to talk about than these, some of these extraneous misdirections that I seem to try and always bring up.
I think this is critical, ladies and gentlemen, for people to kind of think through and understand a little bit. This is something really, really, really serious. Where are we going to go? As Dr. Bradley kind of highlighted, where are we going to go? Okay, we can't go anywhere. So we have a couple of choices here. You can't run. So you're either going to have to cave or stand up and fight. Aren't those your only two choices, Doctor?
Well, see, here's the deal. We had ancestors. I had an ancestor on the Mayflower, for crying out loud. And I had ancestors that came west across the plains and covered wagons and hand carts and all that kind of stuff. And we were looking for a land of liberty where we could live our lives the way we desired to do. And the problem, there's no more oceans to cross. There's no more plains to cross. It's our time right now. We've got to make a stand, and we can do it right now without a great deal of discomfort. Even I mean, like we talk about 249 years ago, the Lexington and Concord thing. The good men died on those greens. I've stood in the place. I've got this kind of weird thing about, you know, the Boston Massacre. Where was it? I want to stand there. Bunker Hill, I want to stand there. Lexington, Concord, I want to stand there. Valley Forge, I want to stand there. There's a spirit about things that you get a feeling for, I do anyway, when I go to those places and I experience them. We can do this standing on the shoulders of those that went before and paid the price.
We can. The only question left is, will we?
Yeah, that's a big
question. And my only answer is I don't know, because I'm not a prophet. I can't read the future, but I can pray and I can hope and I can do my very best to make it so.
Yeah.
And that's what I aim to do, sir.
We can't run across oceans anymore because they've got control of the oceans. The United Nations is making every effort to be the lord and master of every speck of the earth. And we've got people right now at the head of the government that are seeking to make that happen. And we, the people, need to say, no, we're not going to do this. And I hope we can do that before we have to say over my dead body, you know, that you know, you can have my gun when you pry it from my cold, dead fingers. Well, let's hope we never get to that point. Let's pray that we can become wise and the way we run our affairs and quit this nonsense. I just got, in fact, I'm going to pull it out of the garbage right now. Yesterday, I got a campaign. It's a bigger than a brochure, but it came in the mail about a guy that's running for the for the Senate in Utah, and I just am appalled at the egregiously mushy campaign stuff that they're talking about. I mean, this is white bread. No,
and it's literally clown show is what it is.
It is. And he wants my vote. And I'm going, are you kidding me? I would not vote for you if you were the last guy on earth. I would write another name in. Oh, your listeners that are over in other states, Curtis is running for Senate. He's trying to get Mitt Romney's
John
seat.
Curtis.
It's like, holy henna. He was a Democrat before.
Yeah, he's my congressman.
Flipped.
Isn't he?
I'm sure you're proud of that, but the fact of the matter is,
I asked for help and he gave me some kind of minimal help when I was reported to Congress. These liars, and I said, "Can I get my information?" He never called me back. He had some person come try to help me that did the very best she could, but she basically came back and at the end of the day said, "I can't really do anything for you, Sam." And that was the end of that.
That their lip service and glad handing and everything constantly that. It makes me so frustrated.
And I'm not even downing the staffer that helped me. I think she really tried. I just think her hands are tied is all.
Yeah, it's just astounding to me. I mean, look at these platitudes that come out. Keep a proven problem solver in the fight for a stronger America. How about secure America's energy independence? How about strengthen America's economy? Bravo, Sierra, with exclamation points all across the back of it. Energy champion, Utah needs now. Conservative championship. I mean, this guy was a Democrat before he flipped to get
what
elected.
What does the government have to do with energy anyway?
Well, yeah, that's the problem, is that the biggest thing that they're involved in is contributing to the shortage of it. And causing, he's working to lower prices. He's got my vote. I'm going to just fall all over.
Wait a minute, working to lower
this.
Prices. Their whole plan in place by dishonest money is ratcheting up prices by inflationary reality big time. And the Republicans and Democrats are both responsible for that. And until you deal with that in a fundamental way, you're not going to change the game. All
he's
you might do is slow it down temporarily to make you feel better, right?
Right. He's just grinning at me on the front of this and the back of this, both sides of this mailer, that I just, let me tell you something. And this was a statement made by a conservative woman, quote unquote. I mean, she's an activist. She's she's pretty knowledgeable. She's run for office and everything else like that. But you know what she told me one time about Mitt Romney? She said he's eye candy with a good haircut. And I said, are you kidding me? I mean, I'm pretty sure she was saying it tongue-in-cheek. But people, we are making decisions based upon some cheesy grin of some guy that's asking for my vote. You know, he doesn't want to look too spiffy, so he's in a kind of a casual shirt, you know, stuff like that. Then on the other side, he's got a tie on, you know. But it's not fair for me to just pick on John Curtis. I just got this in the mail yesterday, so it's a little bit on my mind. But I'm telling you, that's how we pick our representatives. We don't do diligence when we look at who's going to be in our office and upholding their oath of office. We just don't even look at that anymore. It's about some cheesy grin and some platitude about a problem solver in the fight for a strong. You know what? What the heck kind of problems is he solving for a stronger America? Oh, I'm the one that votes for all of these foreign aid packages to other countries or whatever, you know? Secure America's energy independence. Really? Really? Is this really happening? And strengthening America's economy. First of all, where does their oath of office have to do with any of these things? in every case, they're undermining these things. So I'm kind of got a bad attitude today, I guess, and I'm sorry. And I should not just brought up John's name. You asked for his name. I wasn't going to give his name.
I'm all about giving his name.
Yeah. The problem is that
we got to start taking names, people. I'm not trying to be abusive to anybody else. I'm just trying to lay the record straight. You know, we have got to start to say, look, these people should not be allowed. Look, I'm telling you right now, we need to absolutely stop these people from being in positions of authority over us.
Well,
and I know they're supposed to be the servants, but it's not that way these days.
From the head of the government, the executive branch right now, we've got empty suits. I mean, the office of president has become an office of lessers. It's probably been about 180 years that it's been that now. I mean, it really is. I mean, the character of the great statesmen that were in place in the founding era, we've just strayed from that. And now we've got a demented, well, I don't know if you can call him demented. It's dementia, I think. And like I say, he's maybe crayon, you know, coloring pictures in his bedroom now. I don't know. But I watched an interview with him the other day that I just can't even believe that he's even put out in front of the public. He has difficulty stringing a full sentence together and a cogent thought process. It's just not happening. And we've got a doddering old man there, but look at who's in the House and the Senate. I mean, it's bizarre to me. Look at who we've got as judges now that everything's just put out as a political ploy. It's I just an agenda is all that I see anymore out there, and the agenda is un-American.
You know, it's hard to know how to respond to this, folks. And, you know, the problem is, you know, you get this temptation just to cut and run. You get this temptation just to go find some, you know, piece of ground somewhere, kind of create a little bit of a compound, kind of create a protection zone and just say, man, y'all can go to the, you know, heck in a handbasket together and I'm just going to hold out right here and do whatever. And, you know, but we can't do that, Dr. Bradley. I know the temptation's there. I know we got to resist the temptation to do that because, you know what, that won't help our children at all. It might keep us safe for the next 10 years to keep us out of the limelight, keep our head down. But eventually it will make matters much, much worse, Doctor.
You know, I've talked a lot about four things, and they're simple things that are generic and general, but they've got to be translated into action. Maybe we can bring those up in a minute, but I can't tell you how many times I have had people that have said, and these are people, you know, they're getting in their 70s and 80s maybe, and so they're on the twilight end of the years. I'm in my 70s, and I feel like I got plenty of tread left, and so I'm going to do what I can up to my latest breath. But a lot of these people, they say, you know, I think it'll stay together until I'm gone, and I'm not going to get too wrapped up around the axle about it. Are you kidding me? When in the 50-plus years that I have been devoted to understanding the founding principles of this nation, a portion of my study has been focused on the founding fathers' perspective on their posterity. And their posterity was at the forefront of their minds. I mean, even in the preamble of the Constitution, for ourselves and our posterity, preserve the blessings of liberty. You know, and they thought about their posterity. And they were praying for that. Most of those guys that signed the Declaration were quite confident, I think, that they would never see the degree of liberty that they hoped for, but they expected their posterity to do that. I told you earlier, I like to go stand by or stand at or whatever, some of these watershed moments. I found myself one Halloween night at a, good heck, is it time to take another break?
Yeah, and it's a hard break, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to hear about the Halloween party in mere minutes. And the Halloween party goes ghoulish. We'll tell you about that with Joe Biden in mere seconds, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, it's getting crazy in the Republic and around the world. Hopefully we can bring common sense back to the table and honesty and morality and integrity and a trust in God Almighty, huh? Hang tight.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Ryan Daniels. The Iranian Security Council reportedly meeting after an Israeli airstrike early Friday morning. U.S. officials confirmed Israel launched an attack and explosions were heard in the Iranian city of Isfahan. Airstrikes were also reported on Iranian targets in Iraq and Syria. Israeli officials were calling it a limited strike. Oil prices surged $3 a barrel overnight in the wake of the attacks. All 12 jurors have been selected for the hush money criminal trial involving former President Trump in New York City. Comprising 7 men and 5 women, selection of the 6 alternates will be done before Friday. Trump speaking to reporters after Thursday's court appearance.
I'm supposed to be in a lot of different places campaigning, but I've been here all day on a trial that really is a very unfair trial.
Trump's accused of falsifying business records in order to cover up payments allegedly made to an adult film star to cover up an affair just prior to the 2016 election. President Biden is garnering significant support from more than a dozen members of the renowned Kennedy family. USA's John Schaefer has more.
The Kennedys stood alongside the president during a campaign gathering in Philadelphia on Thursday.
This campaign is about Trump versus Biden. And what we need to do today is focus on Biden winning.
Carrie Kennedy, daughter of the late senator and presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy, lauded Biden's achievements during his first term and delivered pointed criticism of Republican frontrunner Donald Trump.
Writers for Sesame Street have voted to strike. The Writers Guild of America held a vote. All 35 writers for Sesame Street authorized a strike if an agreement on a new contract cannot be reached before Friday. This is USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure ground burgers are made from single cuts of real aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order plus free shipping. You'll get 4 of each pure ground burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
with news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Okay, I'm back with Sam. And I was distracted just before the break about this for themselves and their posterity thing that the Founding Fathers had, and how many of them never expected to live to see their full liberty. And I brought up what Sam has termed a Halloween party. It really wasn't a Halloween party, but I'll just finish that story just so I don't leave you hanging, because it is germane to what we're just talking about. One Halloween night, I was in Savannah, Georgia. I was consulting, and I had been busy all day long. And Button Gwinnett, the guy, if you look at your Declaration of Independence, the first signature top left is Button Gwinnett's signature. Okay, he was out of Georgia. He was a representative of the Congress, and he had a lot of activity in regards to preserving or at least establishing liberty. He was probably the first signer of the Declaration to die. He died in May of 1777, so less than a year after signing the Declaration. He had been the commander-in-chief, if you will, of the Georgia militia. He had launched some efforts to try and fight the British in Florida and so on. What killed him ultimately was a duel. These people were very passionate about standing with principle, and he died of his wounds from a duel a couple of days after the duel. Died in May of 1777, but he was only 42 years old, and he didn't have any grandchildren, more than likely, but I'm not confident of that absolutely. But at any rate, this idea of themselves and their posterity was central to the Founding Fathers' view. And what happened on Halloween night is that late at night, because I had been so busy all day long, I went to the cemetery, and the cemetery that he's in has many of those old patriots buried in it. And I was going through the cemetery, standing next to the graves of some of these great patriots, and Button Gwinnett was one that I happened to. And I thought at the time, this idea that he died young, seeking liberty for his posterity, and he didn't get to fully enjoy it. I mean, he died before anything had really come together for these new states in the United States. And yet, these people were focused that way. And we today, we can't seem to sell out our posterity fast enough. I mean, Thomas Jefferson had an absolute rule that if you entered into debt as a government agent somewhere, whether it was national or state or local or anything, you were to have that debt retired within 20 years, because that was considered a political generation. And so you could not morally, correctly pass that on to the next generation. So if you had the audacity to go into debt, you had to have a payment plan, if you will, a retirement plan for the debt that had it expunged within 20 years. Today in America, I don't care whether it's the nonsensical $100 billion we're going to give on Saturday, or any of these other things. I mean, we're going to about $1 trillion more dollars of debt every 150 days, let's say. I don't know exactly how many. But it's all on our posterity. And we have got to figure out a different way to do that.
Amen to that.
That was just the Halloween story. It wasn't a party.
No, it is ghoulish to be there. It is kind of a Halloween-esque deal, and I'll tell you why. I'm gonna let Biden tell you the story in his own words. Then I'm gonna give you the headline. Just so you understand, WesternJournal.com reported it. Warner Todd Huston gave us the information. So that's who gets the credit here. But listen to Joe Biden in his own words, ladies and gentlemen.
When I left Scranton today, I wanted to go to the war memorial that has the names of all the Scrantonians who died in World War II etched into a granite wall, because I wanted to see where my uncle Bosie Ambrose J. Finnegan, where his name was etched, back when D-Day occurred. And on Sunday, the next day, My mother's four brothers all went down to the recruiting station and joined the military. Every one of them volunteered. And my uncle, they called him Ambrose, instead of Brosie, they called him Bosie. My uncle Bosie was a hell of an athlete, they tell me, when he was a kid. And he became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along. He flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. And he got shot down in New Guinea. And they never found the body because there used to be, there were a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea. But one of the things that I, as I was doing that today, I was reminded of what my opponent said in Paris not too long ago. They asked him to go visit American grave sites. He said no, he wouldn't do it because they were all suckers and losers. I'm not making that up. Staff was with him, acknowledged it today. Suckers and losers. That man doesn't deserve to have been the commander in chief for my son, my uncle.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. He literally says his uncle was eaten by cannibals. Now, there's people that looked at that and went, well, wait a minute, hold on, is that accurate? Is that really true? The answer is no. Biden claims cannibals ate his uncle. Military records tell a completely, a very different story. Think about that for a second. Your president just literally said his uncle was eaten by cannibals and it's flat out not factually true according to military records, doctor.
You know, Sam, I don't know even where to start with stuff like that. I mean, him stringing together a pack of lies like that. I mean, let's just take D-Day, for example.
And you heard the clown liberal media the second he said that. They're like, oh my goodness.
Well, right? D-Day was a Tuesday. I mean, his uncles didn't go down and join the military the day after D-Day. I mean, and if it was the day after the attack on Pearl Harbor, that was a Sunday, so that would have been a Monday. I mean, I don't know where any of this stuff collates together. I mean,
it doesn't. You just flat out lie and manipulate and deceive. Either you're lying or you're just so faulty in your memory. You're so old you just don't even know better about the tales you spin. Where does he get this stuff? Where does he even come up with this?
Well, there's false memory syndromes, I guess. Maybe the psychologists would call it. But I don't know. I just really don't know. And I when was that statement made, by the way? Did you have somebody of a date stamp on that? I mean, or was
It's a recent story, yeah.
Holy Hannah.
It's in the Western Journal.
I just, like I say, I saw an interview.
So the story was released a day ago, but I don't know when the actual soundbite was from. It was a few days ago.
Okay.
A little bit ago, but, you know, it's recent, though, right? But the story was released a day ago. It's hard to say because, you know, you got when it was uploaded to YouTube, when it was, you know, all these details. And I don't know exactly when the statement was made, but it's just like clown show. It's just like crazy. I mean, and no one's even calling it out except for the Western Journal and us and a few others. But the president literally said his uncle was eaten by cannibals. It's like, what? And the military records show an absolute completely different story.
Holy cow. It's one of those
things. I don't know how they respond to this kind of stuff.
He's supposed to be the leader of the free world, right? That's what they keep calling him. You know, and honestly, I don't know if he can find his way to the bathroom without help. I mean, good heavens.
But what do we do with this, though? This guy's got control of the nuclear codes, and we're on the brink of a war, a world war. You know, you got Hamas or the Gaza Strip in Israel. You got, Ukraine and Russia. You've got North Korea backing into deals with China. You've got the BRICS out there. You've got hostilities, foreign and domestic, going on everywhere to where I just don't know. You bring all these things to the brink and something's going to cross the line intentionally or otherwise before you know it, doctor.
You know, we got the 25th Amendment, okay? And honestly, it's a mixed thing. It's a double-edged sword. I mean, if it was exercised, we'd have Kamala. She would be the incumbent running for president in November. I mean,
But
honestly, can we afford to have that kind of clownic? I mean, back in Woodrow Wilson's day, after he had a stroke or a mental breakdown or some kind of collapse anyway when the Council on Foreign Relations and everything was being started by Edward Mandel House. But the Versailles Treaty was rejected by the Senate. I mean, he kind of collapsed. And his wife became the acting president. He was in his bedroom. She wouldn't let anybody go see him. She'd take papers in to him. She'd bring them out signed. You know, it was one of those things where she was the acting president. I just wonder how close we are to that kind of situation with Biden right now, where you know, they prop him up in
The Republicans are allowing this to occur, too, though. We can blame the Democrats or blame whoever, but the Republicans are just kicking back, going, oh, let's partner with Joe to fund Ukraine. Let's partner with Joe to fund Israel. Let's partner with Joe to sell America south and ignore the border on our own border. And the Republicans are literally partnering with Joe while this all goes down.
Again, we come back to what the first hour was about Kevin McCarthy being ousted because of his being complicit in all the things that were happening. They have let a decent interval go by since they've ousted Kevin, and now they think they're going to run it up the flagpole again, whether it's the FISA 702 thing or these funding of these foreign wars or some other clown act kind of thing. We just need to recognize people need to have a memory of where we've been. You can't just throw it away the next week. You've got to remember this long enough to say, wait. It hasn't been a long enough interval.
And so I got a question. Do you think Joe wants to eat Julian Assange?
Okay, let's talk about
Assange. What are you talking about? Hold on. So listen, reports say the U.S. has pledged not to execute Julian Assange. Angeline Tan over at thenewamerican.com with this piece, Doctor. Nothing's official until it's first been denied, is what I would say.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I think this Assange thing is kind of, it's aging poorly for the people that are asking for his head on a platter. And you remember all of the...
It's aging poorly, but he languishes in a foreign prison.
He's been 5 years in a solitary confinement, basically.
You know, so you look at that and you go, wow.
But here's some interesting things. I mean, I think it's becoming a kind of a political... I mean, here we're going into election. Who wants to preserve democracy, as they always say? We could discuss
that.
We're
not a democracy.
I know that. But the fact of the matter is, that's the war cry here.
That's right.
And what he brought out really, truly needed to be brought out. It was in the full voice of the First Amendment. Freedom of speech, freedom of press, and the Americans needed to know, in fact, literally the entire world needed to know the damned lies that were being promulgated as the war on terror went on and the unspeakably stupid things that we were doing. And so that was a great gift to the whole world, literally. And I've been in the circles where they classify things, and they can classify anything they darn well please, and suddenly everything's classified. And this Bradley Manning, Chelsea Manning, whatever they're calling him, her, whatever it is nowadays. But at any rate, and Assange brought it out as a journalist, okay? He's another country. Anyway, so here we have stuff that I think will play poorly in the election process if we bring Assange here and we prosecute him. It could literally come to a full exoneration by Biden. Biden could literally, to make this go away, say, we're done with this and we're going to clear it. We've wasted enough time on this and be done with it. But they did say they're not going to put him to death, okay, if they get him brought. That was really on the table, putting him to death for this espionage thing that they had. I know we're running out of time again, but here's an interesting dynamic, an interesting play. They have these, they're not exactly free speech things, but they're very similar to our First Amendment in Europe. And they're kind of things that they're, you know, trying to uphold and be able to share information and all this kind of stuff. It's kind of like our Bill of Rights, if you will. And the United States... I think our free speech is called into question here, and it could be done if you did it right. Play it against what's happening, what could be free speech in Europe. I get news sources from all over the world. I try and examine multiple different sources. I have come to the conclusion, this is a broad brush statement, but by and large, there are there's more freedom of speech in many other places around the world than there is in the United States. We have been censored and, you know, deplatformed and everything here enough to know that it really doesn't exist in the United States if the establishment doesn't like you. But in Europe, oftentimes, I find a more open reporting, a more honest reporting, a higher level of exchange than I do get from the U.S. press, largely. Because the U.S. press is largely controlled by a handful conglomerate of individuals that are totally steeped in the establishment. But so right now, Assange is being, you could take his case and say, would he have greater free speech in Europe or in the United States? And the United States is not showing so well. And so they could make his prosecution go away. And it could literally, there's people that say, in fact, Australia has actually contacted, he's an Australian citizen, has contacted the president and said, we think you ought to make this go away. And it's played in the mainstream press as they're asking for a plea deal. There was nothing of the sort. Nothing of the sort. They were saying, you can fix this with a stroke of the pen. But the mainstream media is saying, well, a plea deal. That would be, we get a guilty plea, but he's going to be treated with kid. We'll let him out in 6 months or a year, whatever. And that's not what is being played for. They're saying, make this go away if you're really in favor of free speech. And the Australians are asking for that. And it's very powerful movement out of Australia. And the people that are in the United States that are pushing this thing, I think they're aging poorly themselves. So this Assange thing could go away. I mean, that's kind of my long and rambling tirade about that. But I think that it's become a political liability right now to those that are pursuing it. And I think they'd just as soon have it go away. So I hope it does. Assange should never have been, you know, dogged by this thing, because he gave us all a great gift in the name of free speech. And
I completely agree. And you think they're going to execute him?
No. I think that there are individuals still. I mean, you look at some of the people that have been in senior positions in the past that have asked literally for his death. And very senior people. I mean, Trump has been on a tirade over this whole thing. But I think it's aging poorly. I think it's become a political liability. I think that the American people are saying, what, who? I mean, it's been long enough now. It's gone into our memory banks and fallen out the other end. And so I'm...
Which is exactly what they want, I submit.
I'm hoping that it does go away, though, because this man... And I hope, you know what I hope comes out of this? I hope it resurrects a review of the material that was exposed so we can say what? Are you kidding me? We're doing this? I mean, the lies and more darn lies that we've told, the espionage that we've initiated against people you go, wait a minute, we're doing this? I thought we were the good guys. I mean,
you know, the problem is they used Julian Assange and Edward Snowden and some of those kind of early folks, at least, and now they've ratcheted it up. Now they're basically coming for me. They're coming for you. They're even starting to come for people that aren't even really that political. We'll get into that hopefully in some shows next week. They're literally going after people that aren't even hardly political nowadays. Because they want to do things to promote. For example, one guy promotes, you know, traditional marriage and traditional roles, and now he's being destroyed. And it's just, they're literally coming for every one of us. A lot of these liberals think they won't be touched, but after they get all of us, they're next.
That's right. It's like I said earlier, and it's a line out of A Man from All Seasons, where are you going to hide if you've knocked all the laws down? Yeah, I'd knock all the laws down to go after the devil. Well, when you've knocked all the laws down, there's no place left to hide people.
Well, when you knock all the laws down, you've basically capitulated to the devil. Laws have value if they're the, you know, the proper role of laws.
If they're proper,
you know, if they're God ordained laws, they're valuable. They protect us from the devil, right? Now, I'm not saying criminal laws do. The devil likes to pass his own laws, but you can't knock down all laws, or you have, you know, literally, you know, no moral. You don't have a moral code backed by organization, right?
government
that's
is
why
necessary.
That's why government is instituted among men for the for the blessings and protection of all of us, right?
Yep. And that, well, it's go read the Declaration of Independence to preserve the blessings of liberty. And the idea is that these God-given rights are the fundamental reason for government existing, is to protect those God-given rights. And that comes right out of the Declaration of Independence. And so,
those laws that do that would be considered godly laws, right?
Absolutely.
Those laws that don't do that would be considered Satan's laws. And we're basically replacing God's laws with satanic laws is what we're doing. Godless laws are just as satanic as, you know, direct satanic laws.
It's we're creating a lot more of those nowadays than we are upholding the individual God-given rights laws. Tocqueville, when he came here back in the 1830s, he found that there was not a law for everything in the United States. So, I mean, everything was legal, basically, except for there was a limited amount of constraining kinds of things, you know, to prevent force, fraud, and debauchery. And he was utterly amazed. He'd come from France. I mean, this debauchery of the French Revolution was still hanging on, and still is, by the way. But the fact of the matter is, he was amazed that there wasn't a law for everything in the United States. And he tied it to the fact that people had an internal compass. They were tied to God, and they kept their actions within those godly basis. I mean, yeah, there's exceptions, no question. And I'll give you that up front. But the fact of the matter is, the general population of the United States was free to go about their lives and live them in accordance with their dictates of their conscience, because their consciences were tied to that spirit of Christ, that the conscience, the whisperings of the spirit, whatever you want to call it. And they kept their actions within a moral basis. So they didn't have to have a law.
Yeah, I highlighted it as the light of Christ within each of us.
Yeah. But to tell you the truth, we have subverted that. I mean, whether it's our education system that basically teaches the civil religion of a godless society, and what our government has become that basis. I mean, we celebrate when there's a little victory for some kind of justice being done, but they're way too rare. Those victories
Amen
are
to
way
that.
Too rare today.
We need to point people to Christ, ladies and gentlemen. We need to realize the Ten Commandments, in my opinion, are the great godly moral code for civilized society. And we've got to basically go back to that. We don't need to debate the keys to theology, but what we do need to do is stand on the fundamental simple laws that God put forth. There's not even very many of them. Now, some say they're hard to live by, and I agree. It takes discipline. It takes dedication. It takes humility. It takes all these things. But God's commandments are simple and clear. They really are. And it's up to us to embrace them and then hopefully go beyond in our personal lives with self-governing principles. We need to be tied to Christ by this moral code, by this desire to do what is right and to follow the Prince of Peace and to act in a moral way, so that, you know what, you don't need many laws for those who keep God's commandments, because they're not breaking laws. And that's what de Tocqueville saw and found. And he said, hey, America's great because America's good. If America loses that moral compass, America will cease to be great. He clearly highlighted this reality check. My goal is to echo it forward in a meaningful way, an opportunistic way, to say this is our chance, this is our opportunity, this is our, to a great degree, our saving grace. Right, Doctor?
It is. And the four things I always try to bring people to is get right with God. That's the first thing to restore our nation. And the second thing is to understand the principles the nation was founded on and the original intent. And we can talk about those, how we do that. The third thing is to get involved in the process. And the fourth thing is to help other people get involved so we can preserve this nation.
We got a lot of work to do, ladies and gentlemen. We have clear guidance and we have the solutions right before our very eyes. The Ten Commandments. You got the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. I think it should be the political religion of our nation. That's my opinion, to which I'm entitled as well. But we, the people, can repent, can turn to God, and he's given us a holy biblical promise. When we do so, he will heal our land and protect us. Let's get her done. Let's stand together. Our greater numbers will ensure success. That's what we aim for. We have faith and hope in that grand cause as we follow the Prince of Peace. For Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, and yours truly, I am Sam Bushman, lovingliberty.net, libertyroundtable.com. God save the Republic of the United States of America.